Good morning, everybody. We are going to hear from God's Word again now. And before I share with us this morning, how about, oh yes, if the kids would like to go out first, sorry, this time, I believe. And as they're going, how about I just pray for us as we come to God's Word. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have given us your Word and that you have given us, Lord, everything we need to know for life, for salvation through faith. Please just be with me, Lord, as I speak this morning. Help me to speak clearly and faithfully, Father. I pray you'd speak through me, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just descend upon everybody here and you'd soften all of our ears, our hearts, so that we will be receptive to the word you want to speak to us today. And we ask that, Lord, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last year we looked at the book of Judges, and it was a very bleak book. What a relief it is to leave Judges behind and come now to the book of Ruth. What a blessing this is. two people in the story, in the book of Ruth, shine out, Ruth and Boaz. They really stand out as examples of those who live by faith in the God of Israel. Such a wonderful story. And their lives really exemplify living in accordance with God's word. And one of these two, Ruth, is actually a Moabite too, not even an Israelite. In the dark shadows of the days of the Judges, we actually find two individuals whose lives are truly lights in the darkness of this sad time in Israel's history. And here is a story that not only warms our hearts, but it encourages our faith because it unveils for us, the providential hand of God in bringing salvation and blessing during one of history's darkest periods. But we forget sometimes that it's also the story of Naomi too. Naomi is just as much a part of this story as well. And in some ways, we have to look at her story as much as we have to look at Ruth and Boaz's story too. And as the title of today's sermon suggests, Naomi is a faithful woman in distress. Though her husband made some pretty bad decisions about what direction to take the family in, and Naomi went along with it, she probably didn't have much choice in the matter. And her family reaped the consequences of this and the poor decisions that he made in taking the family back to Moab. But now, Naomi, as a woman of faith, she finally makes the wise decision to return the family back to Bethlehem again, to go back to Israel. Her faith has been pushed to the limit, as we heard this morning. She's not only lost her husband, but both her sons. So she's lost everything, virtually. A loss that is really hard to fathom. And it seems her faith is still hanging on, but only by a thread. And this is demonstrated when she declares that she is finally going to do the right thing now. And she's actually going to take the family back to Israel again. However, her faith is so low at this point that she has no real hope for her daughters-in-law. Okay, so Naomi and her two daughters-in-law had already set out for Israel, but Naomi began to have second thoughts as they were going. Not about her return, but about having two Moabite daughters-in-law in tow. I think there's a slide coming up in a second too. In Naomi's in the text, Naomi's conversation with her daughters-in-law is couched in language that gives the appearance she is encouraging them to return to their families and their land, because that would be in their best interest. Not that one, the earlier one, sorry. That one. And in Naomi's mind, it probably was in her best interest because she barely had enough faith for herself, let alone her two daughters at this point. In fact, it's fair to say that this is what this chapter is all about. This chapter and this part of the book of Ruth is all about faith. It's an example of what true biblical faith looks like in both its extremes, in Naomi and in Ruth. And in doing so, it also gives us an example of what a lack of faith looks like in the example of Orpah as well. It's designed to contrast the faith of Ruth and Naomi with the lack of faith of Orpah, but it's also designed to actually show us what faith looks like in all its different extremes. And so we need to look at all sides of the story. So perhaps let's start with the negative first. Let's start with the example of Orpah, okay? Because there's three people in this story. So first, Orpah. It took two attempts to convince Orpah to turn back. Naomi's first attempt, described in verses 8 to 10, didn't work. She urged her daughters-in-law to return to their mother's home with the expectation that the Lord would bless them with security in marriage to a new Moabite husband. She then kissed both of them, which was a very clear signal of dismissal. Many tears were shed, but in the end, poignantly, both women refused to leave Naomi, at least at first. However, Naomi's second effort will be less subtle and more pointed and forceful. And from a divine perspective, it illustrates the true cost of following God. Naomi explains that, humanly speaking, staying with her does not offer much promise for a good life for these Moabite widows. All right, she basically mentions, or she explains, that they will have no hope of security in the home of a new husband if they return to Israel. So she says there's no real hope of security, of a good life, of prosperity, of happiness. You know, there is no promise of that if you come back with me. She makes it much clearer to them this time. So what she alluded to earlier, she spells out in much plainer terms. You will have nothing, or I can't promise you anything good if you come back with me. There's no promise of anything good in this life. And so, in one sense, Naomi is spelling out the real cost of following God at this point. She says there is a cost. If you want to come with me, there is a significant cost involved. And at that point, Orpah decides to turn back. At that point, Orpah says, well, if that is the case, then I don't think I can follow anymore. This may be an example of the second soil in the parable of the sower that Jesus tells, where, you know, he explains that many seek to follow Jesus, but when they learn that it doesn't promise a good life or an abundant, happy life, they decide that they don't want to follow him anymore. They decide at that point that it's not worth it, they want to turn back. And we see something like that here with Orpah. To begin with, she demonstrates a noble determination to return with her mother-in-law. But when her pledge is put to the test, it appears at that point that she doesn't have enough faith to follow Naomi. And that is too big a step for her, and so sadly she decides to go back. And we see Orpah has the choice. She can obey God, she can choose to live by faith and go to the promised land with Naomi, or she can rely on herself and her own wisdom, and sadly she chooses the latter. She goes back to the land she came from. But this, of course, brings me to the example of Ruth. What a shining, bright example that Ruth is in this story. Because with Ruth, something surprising happens. Ruth actually goes. Naomi tries her best to talk her out of it. Okay, she tries three times to convince her to go back. But after three attempts, Naomi realizes that her efforts to turn Ruth away are futile. Naomi's third appeal is to Ruth alone, based on Orpah's decision to go back. As Orpah kisses Naomi goodbye, as we can see in the photo, and turns back towards home, Ruth clings all the more tightly to her mother-in-law. Naomi's words actually become even more forceful here. She issues what is almost a command to leave her. And the most dramatic new development in what Naomi says is her reference to Orpah's God. Do you notice that? She says in verse 15, "So Naomi said, 'Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law back home.'" So she makes it even more explicit. And do you notice with Orpah, it's clear by her decision that she was also making a choice to follow her God, not Naomi's God at this point. But what's amazing here is what Ruth does. Ruth's faith shines out. Ruth seems to have more faith in Naomi's God than even Naomi has at this point. Despite all the promises or the lack of promises for anything good in this life, Ruth puts her faith in Naomi's God and goes with her. And this, I think, gives us a good example of what biblical faith looks like. This is a prime example in Ruth's story of what true biblical faith really is. Biblical faith in the Bible looks to God, trusts in him, and ultimately will follow him wherever he calls us to. It might make mistakes, it might fail to act faithfully sometimes, but ultimately it obeys God and follows him wherever he calls us to go. As we saw with the example of Abraham, all right, it says that Abraham believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. And what did this look like in action? Well, when God called him to leave everything, his home, his father's household, and everything he knew to go and live in a land that was not his own, okay, with nothing, what happened? Abraham, of course, obeyed God and went. Because of his faith in God, he was actually willing to pack up everything and go. And I think we forget sometimes how hard that was for Abraham, you know, to leave everything. His life in a great cosmopolitan city where his family was, where his livelihood, where everything he knew was and where everything good about life was, to pack up and abandon all that, to leave and to go and live by faith in a land that was not his own. That was very hard. It was a very big thing to do. And yet Abraham did that. In faith, he obeyed God and went. And we see that that's what Ruth does also at this point. This is exactly the same decision that Ruth is making at this point as well. She showed the same great faith that Abraham did. She left everything to follow God and to go and to live in a land that is not her own. Naomi, the one who should have had that faith in God, instead is speaking like a foolish woman at this point. But Ruth would have none of this foolish talk. She made abundantly clear to her mother-in-law that Naomi must cease urging her to turn back. She firmly stated her commitment to Naomi, to Israel, and to Israel's God as a covenant. That's what she states at this point. She says that she would go where Naomi went and live where she lived. Naomi's people, Israel, would be her people, and Naomi's God would be her God. Ruth would not only do this until death separated them, she says she would even do so in death. Because she says she would even be buried where Naomi was buried. That's how determined she was to go with Naomi at this point. And in good covenant form, she pronounced a curse upon herself. She said, you know, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I do not do this. And of course, at this point, Naomi realizes that it's futile. She abandons trying to convince her to leave. And she takes Ruth along with her back to Bethlehem. So the contrast between Ruth and Orpah is quite striking. One would have to begin by saying these two women seem to have a fair bit in common. They're both Moabite women. Both were married to Israelite men. Both were initially committed to staying with Naomi. But here's where the similarity ends. Because other than weeping, Orpah remains silent. Ruth's words and actions are what the author has chosen to report here. Orpah seems to have no great spiritual interest in the God of Israel. Ruth, however, has an uncanny grasp of Israel's religion and has chosen to embrace it as her own. Orpah succumbs to Naomi's reasoning, and she appears to choose what is in her best interest at this point. It would seem significant that Naomi told Ruth that Orpah had returned to her God. This strongly suggests, too, that Orpah was still a Moabite at heart, all right? She was still an idolater at heart. Orpah apparently never really had any true devotion to Naomi's God, just to Naomi. Ruth, however, rejected Naomi's appeal. She instead chose to believe and to behave like a true Israelite at this point. Ruth was determined to serve and care for her mother-in-law. Isn't it a lovely story? Isn't it a beautiful example of faith? True biblical faith and what it looks like. And again, of course, the benchmark by which we need to compare Ruth and Orpah, is the, on the side, just so you know, did you know that that's where Oprah Winfrey's name actually came from? Because her mother misspelled Orpah on her birth certificate. But there you go. But on an aside, what the benchmark that we compare this to is the Abrahamic covenant. Because in Genesis 12, 1-3, the Lord said to Abraham, go out from your country, your relatives and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Then I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will exemplify divine blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but the one who treats you lightly I must curse, and all the families of the earth will bless one another by your name. So to walk in the steps of Abraham, one like Ruth would need to leave her relatives, leave her homeland, and trust God to bless her as she sought to bless her mother-in-law. And that's exactly what Ruth did. And she makes this covenant with Naomi, patterned, in fact, after God's covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So isn't that lovely? And this, of course, brings me to Naomi, because this sermon is actually about Naomi today, you know, hence the title. Naomi, well, this is where the story gets interesting in some ways, because I believe that Naomi, in spite of all her flaws, is still a woman of faith. She is an example of what faith looks like in distress, what faith looks like under fire, okay? What faith looks like when it's really been afflicted. See, in the Great Commission that we're going to be looking at in Mission Month coming up fairly soon, plug, in July, it actually says in Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17, when Jesus appeared to them, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We often skim over those words. So it seems that even the disciples of Jesus, when he appeared to them and gave them the Great Commission, not all of the disciples who Jesus handed his commission to were disciples of great faith. In fact, it seems in some ways you could say that some of the disciples who were there with Jesus were disciples of little faith. Okay, they didn't have a strong faith at all. Yet what was Jesus' command to those disciples who even had a little faith? His command was to go. Even if they doubted, even if their faith was weak, his command was simply to obey him, step out in faith and go. And so it was to Naomi. We see here, I believe, an example of what biblical faith looks like from somebody who doubted. Naomi's faith is not strong at this point. Okay, it's so weak, in fact, that she even tries to convince her daughter-in-laws not to come with her. Yet in spite of this, in spite of her weak faith, what did Naomi ultimately do? Ultimately, she went. She chose, when the decision was hers, to obey God and to return to Israel as well, and to return to the land of covenant blessing, to return and go back under God's covenantal security. And what we forget sometimes too is that Naomi had been very badly afflicted. And as we sort of heard this morning, and I think as we know in this story, Naomi's faith in some ways was quite a strong faith because she remained faithful under multiple tragedies. We forget that sometimes. She doesn't always sort of shine or come across as well as Ruth, but you know, we forget that it's easy to judge her. We forget that she'd lost her husband and both her children, okay, which is devastating. She lost everything. And so in a sense, it was very hard for her to still hang on to a faith in God after everything that had happened to her. It's a testament in some ways that she actually did remain loyal to God after everything she'd been through. It reminds me a bit of the case of Aaron, Moses' brother, okay, back earlier in the Bible, where God struck down both his sons for their disobedience and irreverence to God. And yet Aaron, despite being upset, despite doing some things that were not what God instructed, ultimately he remained faithful to God despite the fact that both his sons had been killed. And we forget sometimes what a testament to Aaron's faith that was. And so it was with Naomi. Okay, and God clearly preserves her example to show us that ultimately faith isn't about how strong, I guess, our own will or strength of force is. Ultimately, it's biblical faith is about will we remain faithful to God even when we have been beset by many tragedies, even when terrible things have happened and we have doubts and we don't understand why things have happened, will we still remain faithful to God ultimately? You see, in the end, it's Ruth's example that shines out. Yet Naomi is also recorded here because in the end, she gives us a good example and a strong example of what faith looks like also. To quote John Piper at this point, Naomi's name at the beginning of this book was Hard Times. You could say her name was Hard Times Naomi. She'd been through it all. She'd lost everything. That's the way the author of this book wants us to meet her, okay? Because the point of this book is that the life of the godly is not a straight line to glory. But they do get there. Though she had been afflicted, she remained faithful. And the story which began with Naomi's loss actually ends with Naomi's gain. We're going to have another slide, come up. It began with death, but the story of Ruth actually ends with birth. It ends with a son born. And who is that son born to? Well, verse 17, which is the great destination of sort of Naomi's long and twisted road in this story, it actually says in verse 17 of chapter 4, a son has been born to Naomi. Do you notice that? Okay, it's not to Ruth. A child is born to Naomi. And why does it say it like that? To show that it was not true what Naomi had said in chapter 1, verse 21, that the Lord had brought her back empty, that the Lord had left her bitter and left her with nothing. It was not true. The Lord had not left her. And if we could just learn to wait and trust in God as Naomi ultimately did, we will see that God is still on our side, even if we've been besetted by many tragedies. Naomi showed faith, the faith of a woman in distress, a woman who had doubts about God's goodness to her, yet ultimately she chose to obey God, and she too made it to the promised land with her new daughter, her new Israelite daughter-in-law, Ruth. Her and Ruth both make it. Ruth's faith may have been stronger, but ultimately both of them, like Abraham, went to the promised land when God had commanded. And her faith and obedience saw her being blessed when it seemed like there was no hope for her anymore. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this example that you've given us of Ruth and Naomi, how biblical faith, Ruth's a wonderful example of biblical faith, yet Naomi is still a great example of biblical faith and what it looks like under duress, under distress, remaining faithful when so many tragedies have beset us. I pray, Lord, you would help us to remain faithful to you, that no matter what happens, you would help us to stay faithful, Lord, to you and the covenant that the covenant of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ that we have come to you through. Please help us to remain in Jesus, faithfully following you in everywhere that you call us to go. We ask that, Lord, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.